excellent. Or as we like to say...
You're listening to Natalie Tuck on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Splendid. Natalie, we have Eva McDonald, who is just waiting outside the studio. She hasn't actually got a card to get in. This, I mean, it's so obvious. Now, I could actually say...
that out.
Yeah, well, exactly. I'm going to actually officially open the door to actually do that. But obviously, I can't leave you hanging on that sort of basis. So would you like a musical choice to sort of sort you on the way today before we come to you in full force?
Yes, you choose, Alex.
Oh, this is a tough call. But I mean, are you feeling in a kind of summery mood? I mean, is that the case?
Yes, definitely.
I mean,
so
obviously, A Dreaming of a White Christmas is not going to be an option on that sort of
basis.
Probably
unless,
of course, we went for the ironic side of things. Now, I do know, I appreciate you've got a great love for the French and French scenarios for that basis, I presume. So French sort of style?
Yeah.
So if we went Saint Etienne, do you think that might be a sort of likely one that could sort of guide you through the day, perhaps?
Yep,
a little touch of Sarah Cracknell doing the whole thing, and really the Natalie Tuck theme, which is quite literally nothing can stop us. Cue the crowds, cue the cheering, yes?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, what you've been waiting for...
So much to pack in. Did that pass muster there, Natalie? Okay, that's all right then. For a moment, I thought we'd cut ourselves off. Weather forecast today, it's a high of 22 degrees centigrade in Lincoln, a low of 14 degrees centigrade. It'll be a fine and warm day. Actually getting very warm, but not as hot as yesterday. So, I mean, we did a feature. All my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to say, oh, I believe in scrambled eggs, to give Paul McCartney his original sort of title for yesterday. Good morning, Eva McDonald.
Good morning.
Eva is a So Festival ambassador, and she's got the right Natalie Tuck stuff, it has to be said, because she was on the show last night, and she's here bright and early this morning as well. So, fantastic. Great stuff.
Dedication, that is.
Exactly. Well, Natalie, you demonstrated that because you did exactly the same thing, and you know, first class honours, you're now the pensioned pension industry's finest journalists that you ever wish to sort of encounter. If you want to know anything about pensions, Natalie Tuck is your go-to girl. Anyway, Natalie, any questions you want to put to Eva about life, the universe, or what people who might fancy going over to Spilsby, it's all right, I've never been there either, might want to find out in Lincolnshire as part of the So Festival? Because being...
I would like to hear more about the So Festival in general. I haven't heard about it.
It's over to you, Ambassador.
Well, it's an arts festival, and we have a mixture of music, comedy, dance, and it's running from the 25th of June to the 5th of July.
Exactly. So if you've got a time machine, it's already started. Yes. Go back to the start. And there are a few more days to go. 11 days of explosive outdoor entertainment, or specifically, just another 3 days. I can't believe it's shot by so quickly.
Yes. We haven't reached the main festival weekend, though. Oh. That's this Friday to Sunday, and that's in Skegness.
Oh, wonderful. So does it take place all over the county, then?
It takes place on the east coast of Lincolnshire, and it's running through towns such as Alford, Spilsby, Mablethorpe.
Indeed.
Wonderful.
Woodhall Spa, Skegness and Horncastle and Louth, you know.
Lovely town.
And as you know, Natalie, one of our location reports we've never managed to quite nail as yet is a weekend in Skegness. It'll happen, though. It'll happen, I'm sure, you know. But then again.
Well, when I was in my final year at Lincoln and it was some weather like this, me and former Midweek Drive co-host Amy Elise, we went on a day trip to Skegness and we sunbathed on the beach.
Well, there we are.
So there you are.
Yeah, these Midweek Drivers, they know how to actually have a good time. That's the important thing from that point of view. Actually, you reminded me, we must feature Amy again on the programme. So, because we, as you know, Natalie, Midweek Drivers, when you're part of the whole system, then, you know, it's for life. It's like a little puppy, isn't it?
It's
just for Christmas.
Amy is keeping well. I actually went to Royal Ascot with her the other week.
You could have hooked up with Richard Fitzwilliams and Minty Steed, who was their Royal Ascot, and you could have also connected with Liz Brewer. You know, you should have let us know.
All these people, yeah.
Yeah, you could have been in the Royal Enclosure, you could have been doing all sorts of things. dress code okay then?
Yes.
I didn't expect anything else, but you know, there was indeed a suggestion. Did you actually see any of the folk which were equipped with pashminas? Because apparently, if there was too much bear flesh being screened, then you know the pashmina would come out, and you don't want that in this kind of weather, do you? Really? As I say, Natalie, we always knew you would be well turned out from that perspective, which is very good. So, I mean, are you office bound today, or are you getting out and about? Is it a case of you're psyching yourself up for the commute?
Office bound because I am going to press tomorrow and I'm writing a feature, so I'm office bound today.
Can you give us a little sneak preview as to the feature? As a case of it's a world exclusive when it comes to the financial services industry.
The feature will sound very it may sound very boring. It's a feature is on diversified growth funds.
Nice.
Which are a nice it's a nice investment piece.
In fact, I'm thinking maybe, you know, Eva could turn her skills and talents as a keen chorister and maybe do a choir, just acquire a choral arrangement just on diversifying growth funds.
Maybe.
That's thinking outside the box in every sense of the word. Eva, any other questions you want to put to Natalie Tuck about life, the universe, and, I mean, obviously you saw photographs of her yesterday at the York Maze, opens officially a week today.
So, the York Maze, how's that going? What have you got planned for it?
Well, I'm not actually going to the York Maze this year.
Gutted. Well, actually, having said that, if you're up in August, it still goes on through then, of course. We might be able to squeeze in some sort of time if you're around there. That's in Yorkshire, of course.
Yes, in Yorkshire, but yeah, I've heard it's a Thunderbird theme.
Don't say that. Lord above, it's not officially been revealed until a week today.
I didn't know that.
Oh, the challenges we had yesterday with Tom Pierce when I'm very near. Lord of, I mean, just because Jamie Anderson will be there, just because obviously, you know, we'll be sorting various other things. Lord, have you never heard of D-Notice, Natalie?
Sorry, I didn't know that.
You're quite right, exactly. And that's what started WikiLeaks, of course. But never mind. It's all sorted through on that basis. But, I mean, any advice for Eva in terms of handling the maze itself, Natalie? Because, you know, the likelihood she'll be coming along to experience that.
If it's going to be hot like this, you definitely need lots of water because it's a maze. You get lost in there for hours. And, you've just got to kind of, what I do, and apparently that's cheating, Alex tells me, is I kind of take a picture of the maze map and then try and, you know, navigate around with that. But apparently that is cheating.
I don't know. I think it's simply changing the conditions of the experience, really. That's all. I mean, I'm not sure whether I could ever sort of view it as that. I mean, if it was good enough for James T. Kirk, the captain, of course, in Star Trek II, the Wrath of Khan, to salt out the Kobayashi Maru, it should be good for Natalie Tuck when she's working with the York Maze. Yeah, so, you know, I've kind of eased back a bit on that one, really. So, it's initiative, you know, arguable initiative. But
I don't want us to get stuck in the maze forever.
There are those people who think that's exactly what we're doing on the planet Earth, effectively. But never mind. Anyways, Richard Fitzwilliams, I can tell, is sort of saying, am I not really can't be contacted? I'm sorry, Richard, it is the Natalie Tuck online, so you just have to wait. You can, of course, continue to listen to the show, Natalie, if you take us with us on your mobile portable device. You can simply go to the Radio Player app, free to download if you haven't already got it on the Find Siren online and or Siren FM, and you can hear the rest of the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, which means you could hear Mark Grist talking about how, as an English teacher, he's now actually doing financial rap music. So you see, financial rap music, putting together financial raps. I can give you a little mini example if I can quickly get some work from Mark Grist. I mean, it's something which, quite seriously, I think can lead very much into this choral package for the whole sort of system. Have you ever encountered rap music and the financial arts at all?
No, I haven't, no. Yeah.
Well, that will be happening and coming up as far as the programme is concerned today. Plus, of course, we've got Bill Cowling looking ahead to the first Great Yorkshire Show. It's Bill Cowling's final Great Yorkshire Show before he steps aside as our show director and hands over to somebody else who's going to be taking us through the next sort of stage of things from that point of view. Which leads us neatly round to the last two questions, which I'm sure, Eva, having had this all experienced yesterday and worked very capably with that whole thing, you'll be able to ask effortlessly. So off you go, Eva. Ask Natalie Tuck those last two questions, if you please.
Have you had a nice drink with us today?
Oh, yes, I have. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah. And the next one will be?
Well, we'll be hearing again from you soon.
Yes, I'm sure you will.
And has it cured your hay fever? Because I felt it was very important we sent positive vibes down for this whole thing just to make sure that the sniffliness went away. So, I mean, I feel it has certainly improved.
Yeah.
And do you feel a better person, more holistic person?
My throat feels better.
Yeah. Oh, there we are, you see.
There we are.
And how's the New Zealand flatmate?
She's well, yeah.
Good. That's all right.
Well,
you know, it's always important to keep our New Zealanders happy. Didn't say anything about the tragedy that was the English football team last night. But strangely,
I know.
I gave up pretty much after the first 25 minutes. I thought it's possibly going to go to extra time. The only thing I can actually say is maybe, just maybe, the own girl was scored because she realised that it was a school day today and she didn't want any people staying up and sort of catching, losing sleep, etc. So I thought, let's end it now. But that's not going to that's not going to help the team, is it, Natalie?
Never mind.
Yeah, lots of Manchester City women in there. No Manchester United, because there is the Manchester United women's football team. Never mind. It's a different line. I shouldn't have said that, and I obviously sort of partially withdraw the statement. Actually, I don't. But still, life continues. She likes Manchester. She's a perfect person, but likes Manchester United. So sorry. Natalie, we salute you.
Thank you.
Celebrate and rejoice, because in the words of Brandon Flowers, dreams come true. And they do they not, Richard Fitzwilliams? Come true on a day-by-day basis.
Well, a lot of them do, but of course not all.
Last week, well, actually, our last telephonic contactee, Natalie Tuck. You remember Natalie, of course. We strolled down the mall together. You know,
yes, I do.
Yes, exactly. She was at Royal Ascot. I said she should have let us know. She could have connected with your good self, and all sorts of things could have magically sort of been there. But no.
Oh, what a pity!
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't have an idea. Well, did you enjoy it?
I thoroughly enjoyed it, and she wasn't turned away for poor dress code or given a pashmina. So win-win on every sense, really.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I mean, that's one thing that's. You don't want to be turned away,
no.
But I mean, people were aware of the dress code. It was made absolutely clear, and I mean, it's got far smarter, and you know, it's
precisely.
Richard, very impressive.
In the studio today, we have a So Festival ambassador, Eva McDonald.
We do. Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
And Eva, it's fair to say that your dress sense always, you know, immaculate, as we'd say. And I know, have you ever been to Royal Ascot?
I haven't, no.
Oh, there we are. We have to look towards that. Eva, a young lady who's doing all sorts of marvellous things, just wrapped up her A-levels, Richard. It seems such a long time ago. But there we are. She's sorting out all manner of marvellous things. And being, as I say, one of the So Festival's key people. So there we are. Eva McDonald, Richard Fitzwilliams. Richard Fitzwilliams, Eva McDonald. I always like to do the formalities, Richard, as you know. It's very important, even over the radio. Just to keep the listener aware that it's 21 and a half minutes past 8 o'clock on Thursday, July the 2nd. Richard, after last Saturday's expanded version of goodness, what are you going to share with us this week?
Well, this week we, in fact, this is a film which really does make you angry. It's horrifying. It's Amy. And it's directed by Asif Kapadia, who did Senna, which was such a brilliant documentary. And it's the tragic story of one of the most talented jazz singers of all time, a Jewish girl from North London who became so famous and died of alcohol poisoning at only 27. I mean, it really, really socks it to you. A musical genius destroyed by the spotlight of fame, and despite her fragility, clearly exploited, at least in my view, by those close to her. It's told in an extremely imaginative way. It's the songs she writes. We see her singing them, and just in case, and I would mention this because so many films you go to see and you miss words of dialogue and so on, to make sure you don't, they actually print the words on the screen, which is an extremely effective way of seeing her life through her music. And brilliant she was. Back to Black, Rehab, Love is a Losing Game. And we see her going down a certain path, and ruin does seem certain, and it must, you think, have seemed certain to those around her, but the decline is chronicled. And there are those, such as her father, Mitch Winehouse, and her manager, Ray Cosmet, who do not come well out of it. There's the early manager that she had, the sympathetic Nick Szymanski, who does. And there's her husband, Blake Fielder, who spent quite a time in prison, and most certainly does not. I mean, it's a very, very strong film, very powerfully made, and it's, as I say, the use of voiceovers on footage works extremely well. I mean, Asif Kapadia is going to get awards for this because it really is so well edited and cut, most impressive, and a grim experience over 2 hours.
Okay, so it's from the team that gave us Senna, of course, the tale of former Brazilian motor racing Ayrton Senna, of course. Pretty much put together from documentary footage, it would seem, Richard. Is that the case?
Oh, yes, indeed, and this is what gives it its impact. I mean, Kapadia makes superb documentaries. Senna was absolutely riveting, and everybody thought so. And this is, well, I mean, it involves you personally because you see somebody so talented decline in so public a way. And one of the things it does show, if you are famous and the way you have to exist in the glare of publicity, I've never seen the flashbulbs pop quite like this. I mean, the glare of it, the ferocity of it, the intensity of it. And here is somebody who's basically so talented and yet also so fragile, and her battles with bulimia and then with drink and drugs, they're chronicled too. And no question, there's a lot of guilt here in this film, and it should make the audience extremely angry.
Time Out regard it as being deeply moving. The Guardian, A Star Is Born All Over Again, certainly getting lots of scenarios and lots of thumbs up. Let's turn to Eva. Is this sort of movie that interests you in terms of seeing? Are we familiar with Amy Winehouse?
I'm not too familiar with Amy Winehouse. Of course, like, I think she passed away a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. 2011, yes.
Yes, and no, it is interesting to watch and discover about these celebrities' lifestyles, and I think it's important to realise that.
Interesting in all sorts of ways, and probably a heartfelt, poignant scenario. Or does it simply, again, perpetuate the myth? I mean, if we'd had the sort of routine, would we, again, 27-year-old Janis Joplin, I think, passed away at the same sort of age, really. Again, sort of lots of comparisons have been made between that whole sequence. Interesting, yeah, and quite a poignant one. Does it work better as a sort of drama documentary of collected footage, or would you prefer to see it as a straight biopic, Richard?
Oh, I would say that the way they've collected this footage, and also the way they tell her life, as I mentioned, through her songs, you couldn't make a better documentary or a more powerful documentary than this. I mean, there's no doubt about it. This is extraordinary, and, well, I was most impressed, and I think, as I say, this is a film that is going to win awards because of its message and because she was so talented, and yet her life was so short and so dreadfully tragic.
So, Eva, from what Richard said, is this the sort of movie which you'll be sort of saying, yes, I'll be checking that out in the Lincoln area?
I probably will. Okay. It's quite intriguing.
Let's move on then. Your next selection today, Richard, is?
Well, could not resist reviewing this again because it is back in quite a few cinemas in London. And The Third Man is one of the famous classic Carol Reed's 1949 film, which was so well made that it's on most people's, or a lot of critics certainly, his best film lists of all time. Holly Martin's broke writer of second-rate westerns, played by Joseph Cotten, arrives in post-war Vienna, which is occupied by the Five Powers, as a guest because he expects a job of his childhood friend Harry Lime, played by Orson Welles. Lime has died after an accident, which of course isn't. And at the burial, he meets Major Calloway, played by Trevor Howard, who gets him drunk and hears his story, and subsequently he starts investigating. And a film that's absolutely unique. You mentioned, you were about to hum, one does, the, it goes through one's head,
The zither.
Famous Anton Karas's theme, really amazing, and also the various performances. One of the fascinating aspects of this movie is the way it was shot, because the Baroque ruins of Vienna, a bombed-out city. I mean, it's absolutely...
It's a film noir masterpiece with Joseph Cotten, who's almost as good as he is in Citizen Kane.
Well, quite extraordinary. The performances, the lighting, I mean, shadows, the way they... The part shadows play in this film and the various camera angles when Harry Lime is hunted down in the sewers of Vienna, and it's...
Looks just like Lincoln to me, actually. No,
well, it might, especially with the giant wheel of Lincoln. I know it well. I mean, the dialogue. There's no doubt that the scene on the giant wheel and Lime's quip about the cuckoo clock and the Swiss, I mean, that's in cinema legend. The whole film has been put together with such expertise, such style, and it's a masterwork.
It's a perfect way of...
superb, and all the actors. I mean, there's not a false note in it.
And a perfect way of time travelling back to 1949.
And certainly the way it sustains its tension. I mean, it is one of those amazing films filmed as it happens in black and white, but I mean...
Worth seeing on the big screen as opposed to DVD?
Well, I mean, I was absolutely mesmerised by it, but I always have been.
OK, Eva, have you ever seen The Third Man?
I haven't, no, but I will probably be seeing it soon, because it looks quite intriguing.
It is one of those films that's absolutely unforgettable, and it tells a story absolutely brilliantly, and each shot is created so beautifully. And there's a wonderful supporting cast, too. I mean, you could go on and on. I mean, a film of this sort has been analysed. Every shot has been written about. And there's absolutely no doubt Carol Reed managed to create this movie using Wells. And this is what is so fascinating. Wells plays Harry Lime, who's a racketeer, and he's got this mesmeric, hypnotic charm which draws you towards him, despite the fact that we discover what he does. The man has got this extraordinary charisma, and the way the film was shot, they didn't shoot Wells' sequences till the end, and you can imagine, did he ask for more money? I leave that to your imagination.
It's all good.
Richard, it's all brilliant, no doubt about it.
We've updated that. And again, a little public service reminder that if you're going to Waterloo Station, avoid the clips of Jurassic World unless you've already seen the movie, because there are lots of spoilers there. Apart from the,
lots of spoilers. I mean, it's unbelievable.
He doesn't like the trailers, that's why. I don't let him know that we look at the trailers whilst he's talking in the studio.
Well, I'm glad not. He'd be shocked.
Exactly. We wrap up with either Rehab, You Know I'm No Good, Love is a Losing Game, or Valerie. Which would you actually like from the Amy Winehouse oeuvre to actually take us around from your good self, Richard, after we've thrown those last two questions to you, to our economist and English tutor, Mark Grist?
I would say let's have Rehab.
You're going to go for Rehab. Okay, yeah, that's perfectly sort of a valid choice. And Eva's going to put those last two questions to you right now.
Have you had a reasonable telephonic link with us today?
I have, most certainly.
And will we be hearing again from you soon?
Yes, and it was fun to do the extended broadcast on the weekend, exactly. But not normally so many royal stories. I mean, I shall be in Paris when Princess Charlotte is christened, and I understand there will be... This will be quite interesting to look forward to, because there are going to be photographs of all of William and Kate's... I mean, the William and Kate, the whole family, the two... Prince George.
That would be the family that are currently based in sort of various sort of palaces up and down the country then, basically.
Well, in Amnor Hall, it's no palace, but it's on the Queen's Sandringham estate, and William, of course, an East Anglian...
It's okay. Just remember, Richard, that Harry has said he's quite keen to get married now, so obviously the likelihood of Eva MacDonald and Harry...
He said he's quite keen to get married, but he said, who would marry me as well? You know?
Point.
I mean, President Bonus at Glastonbury, I can't see Harry being able to join her.
No.
Not there, anyway. I mean, it's a pity that relationship.
But nevertheless, you know, that's what makes royal watching an interesting sport.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no.
Of, well, why didn't I think of that? The joys of connecting spoken word, rap artists, and indeed money advice seem to be very much to the fore. And indeed, they have emerged in a way which actually is simply magical. And to actually address the way in which these things have actually emerged, we're delighted to be able to welcome the aforementioned superlative spoken word artist extraordinaire and top-line educator Mark Grist to the programme. How are you, Mark?
Alex, I'm amazing after that introduction. That was beautiful. Thank you.
I was umming and ahhing as to whether to do a rap thing, but my boom box just wasn't working. You know,
well, I'll forgive you on this one.
We'll do our best. And ace money expert from Money Advice Service, Andy Webb. How are you, Andy?
Hello, I'm great, thank you.
Excellent. Andy, if we can come to you first with respect to this particular project and scenario, a way in which we can actually help people with their finances by using rhyme.
Yeah, I think so many people find money a bit of a turn-off, don't they? We use it every day. It's something that we can't get away from it. It helps us, but it can also hinder us. And unfortunately, sometimes the language that's used, and even just some of the content, it can be quite confusing and quite off-putting. So Legal & General have done some research that says like a fifth of people have no idea where even to begin. You know, it's just a bit overwhelming for them. And I think what's quite good about the stuff that Mark's been doing is it just helps you thinking about spending, thinking about money, and kind of like just trigger you in a sort of easy understand ways or cutting out the jargon.
Mark, turning to your good self, I mean, looking back to the 1980s when rap began to emerge, I tried to develop a notion of a rapping chemistry teacher with periodicity coming in and all sorts of other areas. You've taken this to a next level in this side of things, because obviously with your work, you're kind of bringing together the whole notion of people remembering things through rhyme and a whole range of other factors as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a major part of British tradition, really. I mean, Shakespeare's plays, like actors during his time would be able to remember them because there's so many rhymes within them. You know, we remember things like I before E, except after C. And I found in the classroom that using rhymes is a really effective revision tool for helping people to kind of remember key facts and information about the text they're studying. So this, to be honest, this sounds like I'm spot on, really, you know, trying to work, in an educational way with helping people trying to be empowered with their money and their finances. I think hopefully doing something that helps people feel a bit more confident with their finances and getting people like talking and sharing their own rhymes about it, because I think there's a huge number of people, like a third of people in in your area, like are really, really stressed about finances, or are saying that they kind of, that's their biggest stress in life?
Well, of course, you were recently in Lincoln in the month of June and doing fantastic stuff as part of the Dead Poets Death Match.
Yeah, that
tour.
Was a wicked gig, yeah, man. That was really good fun.
We like to feel that even in the East Midlands, we can welcome poets and educators in all sorts of ways. And I have to say, it's a magnum opus on your website, Girls Who Read. Absolutely superb. It's worth checking out. MarkGrist.com. But let's get back to the finance side of things and so on. Have you got an initial example of the kind of rhyme which you think, well, yeah, that would actually help people sort out their compound interest?
Basically, there's a guide that's totally free and it's got tons of tips and guidance on how to look after your finances. I found it really interesting to go through, but one of the rhymes was, you want something, but is it worth it? How many hours does it take to earn it? Just this simple idea that basically, if you try and calculate how many hours it would take to afford something that you want to get, it would help you work out whether it's actually a sensible investment or whether it's going to be of use to you.
You see, Eminem, Puff Diddy, they're so envious with those sort of words. They say,
what?
And no drive-by shooting either. Brilliant. so great stuff there. Returning to your good self, Andy, as I said at the start of this piece, it seems like one of those ideas which thought, why didn't we think of that before, really? But have you noticed that there's a good way of actually sort of providing good sage money advice in a way that makes perfect sense?
Yeah, it really can. I think anything that does help you remember or even tackle, just to start thinking about money, it is a good thing. Another one of Mark's rhymes, he could probably give it to you in a moment, talks about sleepless nights. And I think often money is a big cause of why people do worry, and the stress is often an indicator that there's bigger problems with the money, issues behind it, and not talking about it is a problem. And if the sooner people do kind of address things and realize it's not a problem, the quicker that they can hopefully get some help with that situation.
Well, having spent 10 years at the BBC moving me into money advice service, clearly, you've transversed all sorts of things there. Presumably, you'll be booking Mark to actually provide lots of memorable rhymes your site and work as well.
Yeah, I think anything you can do to help people get a bit more accessible to money, and that's the kind of thing that all these projects are. So Mark with his rhymes, Legal in General with their the sort of rough guide to finance, which you can get on roughguidefinance.com, and everything that we're doing at the Money Advice Service website as well. It's all about making it accessible, making it easier to understand, and helping people not be scared, because it can be a bit scary.
It's fair to say, Mark, that when you sort of first approached to actually come up with an inspiration for the Rough Guide to Money and Savings, did it initially sort of think, yes, absolutely, I'm totally inspired? Or you think, well, that's not really love and romance, is it?
Well, I do you know what? I at first I thought, well, that's going to be quite an interesting challenge. Mm. I think what I like about it is the fact that, the aim here is just to trigger kind of conversations and get people come up with their own rhymes. Like in a classroom, I'll set some examples, right, and I'll get talking about it. And the idea is to kind of have these pieces as a springboard for other people to kind of work off them. So I actually thought it was quite interesting, and particularly because a lot of students that I work with now are really, really stressed about finances and are really, really aware of it, much more so than 5 years ago because of what's been going on within the country. And I think it's actually something that we kind of fail with in school. We don't really teach kind of economics effectively, because it's not a GCSE graded subject. So I think it's actually a project that I've actually really enjoyed. My main concern was I'm not great with finances, right? So I had to really learn about it all, and the jargon really kind of trips me up. But hopefully it's something that will trigger debate and get people talking about their own rhymes and come up with their own tips and guidance that they could share with other people, and we can get a bit more of a debate going on.
Will it help the Greek financial problem?
I mean, it's at least 90%.
this is the message that we're trying to roll out this morning, gentlemen. Can we actually help the Greeks?
Do you know, I'm still trying to get my head around all the layers. There's such a meta game going on within it all, isn't there? Right. With how it's all panning out. I can't even begin to get involved in it.
And I might even suggest that George Osborne gets a hand of roughguidefinance.com, the usual www.roughguidefinance.com. So just a thought. Covering, of course, all life stages, this is the first of a series of e-books that we're working through. Would you be involved with the subsequent entries into the series?
I definitely consider it. I think it's something that I found really interesting, and I think it's something that we are lacking education on. So I think it could be an area that I'd like to work on. But do you know what? Anything that involves writing and education is kind of like quite enticing. So we'll just see what happens.
There you are. All life stages from raising children to education, work and retirement. Nothing about giant lizards, but that's another line entirely. We'll talk about that at another time. Gentlemen, for the moment, it's been fantastic touching base with a good self. Two questions for both of you. First of all, Andy, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning?
It's been fantastic.
And Mark, has it been good for you?
It's been amazing. I'm getting married in Lincoln on Friday.
Oh, wow!
It reinforces why that's a good idea.
Has the cathedral sort of been made aware of the fact that you're going to be landing and sorting through on that whole system?
Oh, no. Our friends have got a yurt business, so we're using their space there. Yeah, Lincoln Yurts, bonus plug. There you go.
Absolutely. So the next final question for both of you fine folk will you return to the programme in the not-too-distant future?
Would love to, yes.
Oh, yeah, no, very, very happy to. Thank you so much for having us on.
Mark Grist and Andy Webb, take care. Never let it be said, Ian Lennox, that we don't actually give you a variety of co-presenters on the show. And I think that's probably the first time you ever encountered a rapping English teacher on financial matters.
Only half in current, actually, as I was trying to watch the end of the game.
Oh, well, look, they're all in tears. They're all in tears. They're crying now. Look, I mean, now here's my theory about Miss Bassett, OK? And Katie Bassett, or Laura Bassett, anyway. The reason she actually sort of scored that own goal was very caring, sharing. She realised it was a school night. She didn't want to go into extra time penalty, so thought, let's sort it out now. No, let's just do something quick, you know, bang, sort it out. You know, that's sort of strategy. But Eva's actually watched the highlights of the game whilst we were listening to the last piece.
Yes.
Not that the last piece was boring at all, but it's just as nice accompaniment to the... to the England women, who, despite having several Manchester City women in there, tragically have only got to the semi-finals. Well, we've got the third place playoff against Germany, so you know that's always quite nice. We can go.
I think they did remarkably well, actually.
Yeah, well, that's because
they're an emerging team, aren't they?
Well, you know, they had Kate Bronze, you know, Manchester City. They had the goalkeeper City. They had Tony Duggan City. You know, it's all there. No Newcastle United women in though. Is there a reason for that? Do you think?
Well, Newcastle United haven't got a women's team.
Well, exactly.
I think I don't Manchester City back their women's teams. The club actually backs. They do.
So do Chelsea.
Well, they'll put finance in.
Exactly. Yeah. But overall, I think a good thing. Eva McDonald, can I introduce you to Ian Lennox? Eva.
Hello.
Eva is an ambassador for the So Festival, which you just heard is approaching the weekend of fun, frolics and delights in the climax of 11 days of explosive outdoor entertainment. Which, of course, takes place in Skegness this weekend.
It does indeed.
Although you will be on ambassadorial duty with Chloe Baker and others. How has the ambassadorial duty been going, actually?
It's going very well, I think. We've got quite a fair few of people, so we're doing very well at the moment, actually, I think, yes.
That is always good to hear. And challenges that you've had? Any challenges? Any, you know, particular? I mean, people coming from Newcastle, for instance, sort of saying, "Ray Pet, what's going on with this Skegness like?" Sorry, the accent's gone completely.
Very poor.
It's terrible. I know. It's the heat. It's the heat, dear boy. It's just, anyway. So, any particular challenges? Obviously, mentioning no names.
No, not really. I think it's going quite smoothly.
All been happy to work through that process. Good. Ian, I have a confession to make. I was intending to do this last night, actually, but I was so excited by the fact that Japan women were playing England at midnight our time that I thought, I'm going to have to put away reading your latest oeuvre. So I'm in the same sort of dark house as Jessica Ward, who I believe she's halfway up a mountain in the Isle of Man now. I wasn't aware they had mountains in the Isle of Man. Maybe it's just a large hill. But I'm sure she'll be on the case and we'll hear that she's reading the thing in full force.
The Warriors is reading.
The Warriors. No, no.
Oh, this
was the cricket one.
The Gentlemen Players.
Exactly. And also, keeping the Ian Lennox oeuvre going, I've provided Iona Pierce with a copy of The Brothers, which she's currently reading.
So,
I like to feel that. I know you're not getting paid for this, Ian, but at the same time, you know, I like to feel as though we're spreading the word. You know, that's the key thing. Getting Ian Lennox to the audience one book at a time and one person at a time. Would you like to quiz Eva McDonald on how she's found 2 hours and 49 minutes of Midweek Drive madness with me? She was here last night. She's here this morning. She's going to be joining us pretty regularly through the summer. She's just wrapped up her A-levels. And she's a So Festival ambassador and a chorister. It's over to you, Ian Lennox. The interview mantle is now
yours. Are you a first-year student, then?
I have been. I've just finished A-levels, so... Right. It's a very exciting time.
So you're starting a university degree?
No, not yet. No.
Oh, but you intend to?
In the future, probably. In the future.
It's a possible, right. But she's taking a sensible year out.
I am.
Ah, right. What are you going to do with that?
Just volunteering and helping the community out in any way I can, really.
In the local community, not abroad or anything. Right.
Yes.
Oh, right. That's very worthy.
Yes.
What's the thing behind, apart from obviously you want to help people, but are you thinking about just having a rest from academic things?
Oh, yes. I think a rest is well deserved.
Yeah. Have you obviously working quite hard then?
Well, I hope so.
And your A-levels, of course, were?
Yes, they were English literature, music and psychology.
Good, well, that's a mixed bag.
Okay. It is a very mixed bag, isn't it?
So what do you intend to do when you get your degree or when you go through university?
Well, I'm hoping to actually go to music college.
Right. Which music? Have you chosen a music college yet? Or?
Probably Manchester, I'm thinking, maybe.
Right. I used to work in Manchester.
Oh.
My uncle was a musician. He was a concert pianist at the Guildhall.
Oh, okay, yes.
And I went down to see him once, as a young man, and I thought it was rather a romantic thing he was doing, but he was teaching, he was a professor at the Guildhall as well, being a concert pianist.
Mm.
And when I went down there, I just realised how really hard they worked.
Yes, they do.
You know, at teaching. It's extraordinary. The levels at which they work is...
You should have a word with Ed Wellman. He works so hard. He was even in this morning at 3 a.m. You know, it's amazing. Yes, I think it was about sort of 4:30.
Was he playing music?
He was writing reports. Yeah, it's just
really?
He was doing minutes of meetings and such like stuff. It was all the stress of last week and all sorts. Anyway, he might have dropped into the show, but he's not going to. We know that. He's too busy. He's still working on his report. He's tucked away in the office. You've got to lift your head up every so often. See, there's a world out there. I know, Ian, you're keen to actually listen to Cameron Tilbury's latest Nashville music offering because it's a chance to actually have a little reprise of the unveiling, which we actually have every Wednesday on the Midweek Drive. For the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, we give Ian Lennon the chance to actually listen to Cameron Tilbury's musical choice, which, as well aware, Eva last night featured Tia Goins.
We did, yes.
That's right, it's Tia Goins. Even though it took some time before Cameron actually got around to listening to it and then decided it's fantastic. So, are you ready for Tia Goins and What's Forever For, Ian Lennox?
Yes, I am.
They change with the times.